because I come to your town and we beat your team.
You're now tuned in to one of the realest sports podcasts for Kentucky basketball.
Three in the air. Good again.
And football.
The Kentucky defense steps up again.
Just an opinionated Kentucky sports fan podcast.
Maybe that's a Kentucky accent.
With Jay Hayes and JD Hall. Woo! This is what we do.
Let's go!
Religiously Kentucky.
Big Blue Nation, what is up? I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is...
His voice of reason, JD Hall.
And we are Religiously Kentucky. Been a quiet week.
Been a real quiet week. It feels like it's been forever since we've had Kentucky football or basketball on TV.
But it's not like...
That was
horrible. So I kind of thought about that like through the week, like, oh, okay, no games this week. But I was like, hey, it's not as bad as this past year we had to deal with.
Right.
No SEC tournament and all that. But yeah, so it's been kind of weak, but I mean, things are still going on. We now know where Kentucky football will play in a bowl game. Orlando. Mm-hmm. We knew it was
going back to Florida.
We knew it was going to be in Florida. It will be in Orlando for the Citrus Bowl. And it's crazy because, you know, you saw the picture that I put up on Twitter. It was Mark Stoops, young.
Yeah. We've all seen that picture of Stoops in his jersey.
It's his little football card. But yeah, Iowa played at Iowa. And now I might as well say it, the best coach ever at the University of Kentucky. I say it. Now he's going to play against the team that he played for and in a bowl game, and I love it. What do you think about the matchup?
I really like the matchup. They got a good defense, but their offense is pretty terrible.
Right.
They're always good at the tight end position.
Right. Which will make our defense look good.
Right. But outside of that, I mean, I don't know how good their offense really is because I don't think their quarterback play is – any good at all.
Right.
I mean, if you watched the game last night, and I watched it till halftime because we, you know, spur of the moment, we ended up going over to Cleveland to a buddy's house and he's a big Michigan fan. So we stayed and we watched the first half of that game with him. And, when I got home, you know, partway home, I checked the score. It was 21-3. Okay. It was 14-3 at half. So Michigan got another touchdown. And then when I got home, I opened it up. I was like, what in the hell happened? You know, it was 40. Now it's 42-3, and the game is over.
Right.
And I don't know if they benched Petrus or if he got hurt or what happened. But you know, the backup was in there after that. So right. I don't know. Their defense is very opportunistic. If a ball gets tipped up in the air or is overthrown, there's almost always somebody there from Iowa to pick that ball off.
Right.
So you know. Going into that matchup, you got, as Kentucky, you got to be really aware of your ball security and ball placement and that stuff. So, but I like the matchup because I don't think they have the athletes on the outside to really scare the DBs that we have.
Right.
Which when you play in the SEC, almost every team's got athletes on the outside.
Right.
So it makes you bail out quicker and turn and run faster than you normally would. I don't think Iowa really has that. So I like the matchup. I'm really both sides of the ball because Michigan kind of plays similar to the way we do offensively. Very physical up front, running the ball, play action pass. I like the matchup. When it came out, that was the matchup that I wanted in that bowl.
Right.
Was playing Iowa. But it also shows you, too, the Citrus Bowl got the first pick after the New Year's Six and at-large and all that for the SEC, and they picked Kentucky. So that tells you kind of what they thought about Kentucky and their season. You know, you got a lot of these other fan bases pissing and moaning that Kentucky's in the Citrus Bowl and they're not.
Right.
Well, there's a reason. We finished with a better record, higher up in the SEC. They know our fans are going to travel.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was going to say that's a big part of it because it is about making money.
And then you throw in the Stoops Iowa storyline.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a no-brainer that's what was going to happen. So,
yeah, Kentucky and Iowa, Kentucky 22, Iowa 15. I mean, that's a great matchup. And and like you said, Kentucky fans travel. Blue gets in. Is the
Blue
same
gets in.
And that's an opportunity for them to make money. You know, that's part of it, I think. But it's a great matchup, and I'm all with it. But with that, some news along this good news is, you know, transferring a lot. And I put the googly eyes out there on Twitter and said, wow, a lot of transfers and even a coach leaving.
I hate it here. I want to go home.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good. Like, we are, because, you know, who's transferring from Kentucky?
Oh, say less.
Right. That's, I mean,
you know, the guys that have transferred.
Is the storyline like they're getting better players in and they're not getting playing time, or
let's talk about Jared Casey. He comes in as a 4-star.
Right.
Was originally committed to Oregon, then he decommitted and flipped to Kentucky, right?
Right.
But what's happened in the last year? He got passed by Derrick Jackson and Trevin Wallace.
Right.
You didn't see a lot of Jared Casey on the field.
I will say when you did, he was involved with some nice plays.
He was. But he's obviously been passed on the depth chart by younger players.
Right.
So coming out of high school as a 4-star and you're getting passed by guys coming in, like, I understand why he's leaving. It's probably going to be better for him to leave, to find another spot.
Right.
Wherever he goes. So good luck to him.
Todd Harris.
Decommitted. Yeah, he decommitted. Yeah. But that's something that's been going, that's been brewing for a little bit of a minute now.
Right.
Because he had to get 30 credits between this and the spring and summer to be able to be eligible.
Right.
So I don't think him decommitting was a surprise from anybody on the Kentucky side. It, you know, it was something they had been expecting. And then you got Tisdale that's transferring, which again, another dude that was passed on the depth chart by McLean and Lavelle Wright. So what's his playing time going to be? You know, these guys that are transferring so far, they aren't transferring from a position group that's going to hurt us.
Right.
Because we're pretty deep at the inside linebacker position now. We're very deep at running back, especially if Smoke and C-Rod come back. You know, you're so deep at running back. You have almost too many.
Right.
Torrance Davis, I don't know if he really had a position on the team because he bounced back and forth between running back and linebacker.
Yeah. And we like seeing him at linebacker.
Yeah. He's athletic. He's big. I think he played linebacker in high school. So it wasn't like they put him at that position with him not knowing the position, you know? So, and I think Nasir Watkins was the other guy that transferred.
Yeah.
He's going to be a grad transfer. So, and that's another spot, you know, the offensive line, we're good at the offensive line. It's the big blue wall.
And
so,
yeah,
all we do is we come in and replace the bricks,
right?
We rebuild
it.
We just go in and do some maintenance and bring in a new brick here and there to keep that big blue wall going. So I think we're going to be okay. And then you got the kid from Virginia Tech where there's a lot of smoke about him committing, Travion Robinson.
Yeah.
So,
and then you got Travion Longmire decommitted.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's up with that?
Again, with that, you know, it doesn't seem like that was much of a surprise either because he was a kid. There's been talk since he committed, like, what position is he going to play? Is he going to play wide receiver? Is he going to play DB?
Right.
You know, where is he going to go? And then reading, you know, the reports about it, it was kind of a kid that he really hadn't developed much since he was a freshman sophomore. He kind of plateaued. And with some of the kids they got coming in, you know, it was probably best for him to find another spot.
Right.
So it sucks that it's this late in the process for him, but I'm sure he'll end up in a good spot for him.
Right.
You know, a place that's going to work out where he's not just sitting the bench and riding the pine, where he's going to get a chance to play. And that might not have happened at Kentucky, which is, I mean, it's a great, it sucks for him, but it's a great thing for us as fans to say that a kid who is, you know, regarded as a really good player in the state of Kentucky doesn't have a place on this roster.
Right.
You know, it tells you the job that Stoops and his staff have done and building the roster over the years that they've been here.
The home people are going to be mad. And they'll continue continue to say that Kentucky don't recruit Kentucky.
I didn't see a whole lot of that stuff on Twitter surrounding that or on the message board surrounding
it. Yeah, I didn't. I didn't either. I didn't see a lot of talk about this at all, really, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that may be another sign right there about.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, people really weren't that upset about him.
I know. Right. Yeah. That's usually a all tell. But
right.
John Summerall going to be the head coach of Troy.
Congrats to him.
Yeah.
So, and it shows too what kind of person and coach he is that he flew back this past weekend for official visits. at Kentucky to take some of these guys through their official visit that were on campus this weekend. So I think, you know, we always talk about who's going to be next at Kentucky.
Right.
Who's the next guy at Kentucky? And if Summerall goes to Troy and he does well there, I mean, there, it's not a stretch to think that he might be that next guy at Kentucky. Because if he's there, you know, 4 or 5 years and is really successful at Troy, I think we can all agree that 4 or 5 years from now, Stoops is going to be 60 years old. You know, he's what, 50, 56 now, 57?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Somewhere around there. So, you know, he's going to be just turning 60, early 60s. How much longer is he really going to be coaching, you know?
I don't know, but I know that he's here.
You know, his kids are out in Colorado. So how much longer really is Stoops going to be here? You know, we don't want him to leave.
Until he retires.
Right. But as your kids get older and you start missing more and more things, you know, does he get to the point where he's like, man, I just gotta walk away. If Summerall, like I said, if Summerall goes down there and he does really well at Troy, then he may be the next guy. Because from everything that you hear, everybody loves Summerall, and he's a hell of a coach and he's a hell of a recruiter. So that could be a coach to keep an eye on for Stoops' replacement.
I like it. Stoops signs another extension. I think this is like the sixth or seventh one, something like that. Yeah. But he's here.
Well, every year, I think in his old contract, every year that he got 6 wins, he got that extra year. So he was always getting a contract extension anyway. They changed it in this newest one where he has to get 7 wins. So if he gets 7 wins, he gets an extra year. If he gets 10 wins, he gets 2 extra years. But I never did see, did you see the money associated with it?
No, I didn't.
Well, any kind of pay raise that he was getting?
I didn't see any of the money talk. I just saw that basically it was through 2028.
Right.
Stoops is going to be here until he retires football, I believe.
He'll be here until he doesn't want to be here, one way or another, whether it's retiring, going to take another job, whatever it is. Right. Stoops is here until he doesn't want to be here anymore.
Right. And this year coming up,
he's going to end up being the winningest coach in Kentucky football history.
Right. And the longest stint. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's, I love it. I like Stoops. I've liked Stoops from day one, to be honest with you. When things were bad, I had that mindset of please give him a chance. Please give him a chance, you know, because it's in football. You'll have to get fired quick.
I like the Stoops hire because he wanted to be here.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about the Stoops hire. Was he a flashy name? Was he a home run name out the gate with the hire? Absolutely not. He wasn't. Like, if we're being honest, like, I don't think there was a whole lot of excitement around the Mark Stoops hire when it happened. But what I liked was he came in,
he was
to the interview, and he had a plan.
Yeah.
And he wanted the job. And that told me all I needed to know about whether or not I was going to like Stoops as a coach.
Yeah, I like Stoops. So, I talked to him actually a couple of times, but one time I talked to him at the fan day thing. Mm-hmm. It was the first 10-win season, and it was the no games played that year yet. And I told him, I said, we're going to win 10 games this year. He said, I like that. I said, yes, right. And, like, there was people around me, like, kind of whispering, like, what? This dude is crazy. And just to win 10 was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because I've always been that. Not always. I've given them hell a little bit, you know. But I've always kind of been, like, a hopeful thinking, wishing for the best kind of person, you know. I've always been that kind of person. But I'm happy with Stoops. I'm glad, you know.
But what happened on that season that we didn't win 10 games that year? That was the year that Terry blew out his knee against Eastern Michigan.
Yeah.
And then Sawyer Smith, is that his name?
Yeah.
You know, Troy against Florida.
Hey, Troy connection.
gets hurt against Florida.
Yeah.
And the game that we got the lead, Kyle Trask comes in after Frank's, you know, after that nasty injury that he had. And now Smith, you know, he gets hurt. He can't throw the ball anymore. We become one dimensional. Florida comes back. They keep Smith at quarterback. He's still hurt. He loses Mississippi State. Then you finally make that switch to Lynn Bowden.
At South Carolina.
I think we were, what, 2-3 at the time that they made the change? Because we went to South Carolina. Did we lose at South Carolina that year? Or was that? Yeah, we lost to South Carolina that year. So I think that was what that triggered the change. And then we finished the year 6-2 with Lynn at quarterback. If Terry doesn't get hurt or they go to Lynn Bowden earlier, I think we win 10 regular season games.
Damn, Eddie Grant had his job cut out for him.
Right. And that's why.
Oh man, people.
I know we're going back, but that's why I didn't like the hate Eddie Green guy.
I know.
Like, what? How many other offensive coordinators are going to do
on the
what
fly.
He was able to do on the fly?
Yeah.
You're down to your fifth quarterback who's not even a freaking quarterback.
It takes a great offensive mind to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So.
But yeah, man, I'm happy with Stoops. And now, like I said, we started with going to the Citrus Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff. Not worried about any of the people transferring or the coach loss. We're going to keep moving forward. That's what we do, Big Blue. Mm-hmm. But a little bit about last week, we had Zach Gagan on, just to flip the script a little bit. And we were talking about recruits and how quickly a recruit can flip.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Who knows? I mean, honestly, who knows? If you believe what's coming out of Kentucky, there were some red flags that came up and they backed up. They backed away. But I don't think we'll ever, I mean, really know the whole story. But again, like, you got a kid who's going to Donda out there with Kanye.
Yeah.
Who has an affiliation with Adidas.
Yeah.
He was...
Robert Dillingham is the kid that we're speaking of.
He was apparently committed to Kentucky.
Yeah.
On his visit.
Yeah.
Flips from a Nike school to an Adidas school.
Right.
So does that affiliation out there with Donda and Kanye have anything to do with it? Who knows? If you go back and you look at his recruitment, it was weird anyway. You know, so many different times, different schools led, North Carolina, Memphis, you know, Kentucky, and then he goes to NC State. You know, there was the controversy surrounding him going out to Donda that, you know, his dad said he went out there without me even knowing, you know.
Right.
So if Kentucky really did back away, it was just like, man, there's just more to this as we're getting closer than we want to deal with, I wouldn't be surprised. Because right. How many times over the Cal years has a kid been seemingly a lock to Kentucky for a while and then go somewhere else?
Yeah.
And then you start hearing all this shit that's going on behind the scenes with them. And it's like, okay. You know, there's almost always a reason why.
Yep.
Kentucky walks away from a recruitment.
Yeah, and they call it misses. Oh, that's a miss. Oh, what?
There's also other stuff, I guess, from his camp about the ability for him and DJ Wagner to play together.
Yeah. And Kentucky would much rather have Wagner.
DJ Wagner, yeah. I mean, and they were recruiting him to play along with DJ and Reed and, you know, to that to be, you know, part of their core backcourt. In that class. So I'm not all that broken up about it. I think the fans, if he would have stuck and committed, would have been really happy. But there's also the thought too that he may not even play college basketball.
Right.
You know, that it may end up something where he goes to the G League or he's not eligible. It may end up being a good thing that he's not part of the Kentucky class.
It seems like
it seems really like
the quote. Let me air quote these. The misses seem to be good,
right?
You know, but I did hear the word Memphis come out of your mouth, and I'd like to make a public service announcement. Recruits, if you would like to play in the NIT every year, Memphis is the way. Brought to you by Jay Hayes and Religious.
What about that situation down there? It's a freaking dumpster fire.
It's not
down there in Memphis. You got Penny coming out in the media, throwing his team under the bus, and
man, it's not looking good.
Blaming them for, I mean, as a recruit, and you see your coach doing that.
Yeah.
You know, how's that make you feel about what's going on behind this? If that's what he's saying to the public,
right, right,
and on the record. In interviews.
Right.
What's that? What do you think he's saying behind closed doors? You know.
And they got an all-star staff.
They say they have an all-star staff.
Yeah. They say on paper, when you see the names.
The one is Larry Brown.
Right. Right.
There's the guy.
Yep.
That's the guy on staff.
I agree. I agree 100%. Brown. Yeah. But it's
Rasheed Wallace played a long time in the league. Yeah. Doesn't mean he's a good coach.
You're right.
Penny.
Nor Penny.
Played right. in the league. Doesn't mean he's a good coach. And we're seeing right now, doesn't look like he's a good coach, because a good coach is going to be able to keep those egos and that stuff in check.
Yeah.
And a good coach doesn't throw your team under the bus.
Kentucky isn't for everybody.
No.
And we're seeing that.
And, you know, the Memphis fans all wanted to anoint Penny as the guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's overtaking Cal. He's so much better.
Right.
When, in the 12 years that Cal's been in Kentucky, has Cal ever done anything like Penny's doing at Memphis? Blaming the players.
Not ever.
Out in the media publicly. Well,
I think he has once or twice. I have actually heard him once or twice.
But when he
and it was in a subtle way too.
Like,
it wasn't.
You know, we got guys that are taking shots that they shouldn't be taking. You know, it's
right,
stuff like that.
Right.
But it's very, very rare that he's saying stuff like that.
Can Penny be fired? A lot of folks think no, because he's from Memphis, and
it's going to be. I think it'll be really hard for Penny to get fired.
Good.
There's going to be
stay there.
There's going to have to be some like really, really bad stuff hit for him to get fired.
Right.
He's going to get as much time probably as he wants.
Right. Enjoy the NIT.
But you know, you had all these guys. You had your team built. Right. And then you bring in Duren and you bring in Bates.
Yep.
You know, you promise these guys playing time and that's the NIL right. money and all this other stuff. It's going to piss off your team.
Yep.
The guys that were there all offseason go through all of the workouts in the right. spring and in the summer and all that stuff.
We're going to see a bit of that in January.
We will. But I tell you one thing, we've got a coach on our sideline that can handle that.
Yeah.
That knows how to handle that. That knows how to
don't make promises.
Yeah, there's a lot of Kentucky fans that think that Cal makes promises to five stars and all this stuff for playing time or whatever.
It's under promise and over deliver.
When you see these guys, these five stars out there for Kentucky that are getting playing time, and say they struggle,
right?
A lot of time, who are you going to bring in to replace them? Right? We don't know what's going on in practice. We don't see that. So to sit there as a fan casually watching the games and thinking, well, this guy doesn't deserve to play. You don't know what's going on in practice.
Exactly.
All you know and all you see is what's going on during the game. And as we've seen during the game for the last, three games, Dante Allen can't shoot.
Yeah.
Last three games.
Right.
You know, Kellen Grady can't shoot the last two games. But do you think that's what's happening in practice? If that was what was happening in practice, do you think Cal would let them go out there and shoot 2 for 12 in a game?
Right. Right.
Right? You know, he's going to tell them, do some other things until that shot comes back and that shot starts working for you again.
Right.
You know, you could hear in that Central Michigan game Monday night.
Yeah.
Dante passed up a corner three to drive and ended up turning it over because I think he stepped on the baseline. And that was towards the end of the game. And you could hear Cal on the sideline telling him, shoot, Dante. Like, so he wants him to keep shooting. Because I guarantee if he's shooting it much better in practice than he has last three games.
And how do you get over missing?
If you're a shooter, you shoot your way out.
You keep shooting.
You keep shooting. So we've got the coach on the sideline that can handle the egos and do that stuff, you know, and Cal's been asked, is Sharp going to play? And he's like, I don't know. If he comes in, if he's good enough, he's ready. He might play. He might not play. We'll see. You know, that's not promising a kid a spot on the floor.
Right.
And we talked about the whole Sharp situation. You know, if the team's okay with it, if Cal talks to the team and they're okay with him getting some minutes, just stepping on campus in January, then that's how you do it. You make sure your team is okay with it before you just throw these guys in there, you know. And that was the report for the Kofi Coburn. He talked to the team, and players on the team didn't really want to bring in Coburn, you know, for whatever reason, whether it was the chemistry issue or what. I think it was more chemistry issue because then you would have to change your offense to bring in Coburn instead of focusing it on the perimeter like these guys he brought in. If Coburn would have had to been the focus of your offense, Durin, if they would have landed Durin, was a little bit more of a power forward or could play power forward. And from the reports coming out of high school, he had a pretty decent mid range shot. So he would be able to space the floor a little bit, and play with Oscar at the same time. Coburn couldn't do that. So, but you know what? I like my team.
I do too. And next up, we play Southern U tomorrow, mm-hmm. Monday. This Monday.
Is it tomorrow?
Yeah.
No, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay. Well,
it's Tuesday.
This Tuesday, Southern U, back on the court, the Kentucky mm-hmm. Wildcats. I'm ready for it, man.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Well, we say that, but like I mentioned, man, it was a lot worse and we went through that.
It was.
Missing the SEC tournament, man, about killed me.
8 days is a long time to go without basketball on TV.
It is, or football. We had some football, but it wasn't Kentucky football.
Wasn't Kentucky football.
Right. So that's where we're at. Short but sweet, this episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when there's no...
when there's nothing going on, yeah.
But and we could talk about so many... I think the most
entertaining stuff that's been going on this week is all the stuff going on with Memphis. Watching them lose three straight to unranked teams.
Right.
All the crap that they talked to fans in the offseason coming in.
Penny wanted all the smoke. You got
knocked the... wanted all the smoke. He's getting the smoke.
He's getting every bit of it now.
Yeah, and that smoke's getting hot because if you saw his face on the sideline, it was like...
Yeah.
Man, why am I even here?
Yeah.
I should be in Orlando coaching.
Hey, man, and they got a squad too, man. They're hard to watch.
They got a roster.
Yeah. But with some guys.
With a couple of guys, you know.
And Kentucky, we saw that last year. We saw it last year, mm-hmm. man. And regardless of people saying like, oh, we was bad, and we were bad, Kentucky still had some guys on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's hard to watch. When you don't play together, it's hard to watch.
It's very hard to watch. So, but it's fun watching it. It's fun. I mean... We as Kentucky fans, we really don't have any reason to hate Memphis, right?
Right, right.
They're not a rival. There's really no history there between Kentucky and Memphis.
Right, right. I've talked to some Memphis fans. They're some shitty ones.
Their fans made us not like them.
Yeah.
Talking all that shit on Twitter.
Yep.
Talking about how they were the best team in the country.
Yeah.
How Penny is past Cal and... is the greatest recruiter in college basketball. And, you know, we're going to find out this year when they win a national title. Okay. How's that going for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
NIT.
And then you have another SEC school go out west and beat Gonzaga. So,
yeah.
After, you know, and that team lost to Iona. So,
yeah.
And I saw a lot of people on Twitter during that game and after talking about how great that is. And, you know, well, not necessarily the win, but the style.
Let it ride!
And, man, I know it's exciting to watch.
Nate Oates, baby.
I know it's fun to watch when your team just jacks up 25 threes in the first half.
Let it rain.
But if those threes weren't going in.
What do you do then?
Exactly. And Nate Oates doesn't coach his team to take mid-range shots. They're not comfortable doing it. So when those threes stop falling, and they will, what do you do?
Yeah.
If you don't coach your players to be comfortable taking that 15 to 18 foot jump shot, if it's open, then what do?
Exit the tournament early.
I know Cal gets, people give Cal a lot of hate saying that he wants the players to shoot those 15 to 18 footers, those mid-range jumpers.
Right.
he wants his players to be comfortable taking those shots.
Right.
So that when they're the shots you're getting based on the defense, then you can just take that shot and be comfortable taking that shot.
Right.
Because we've said here before, a great offense is able to use the entire floor to score.
Yeah.
It's just like in football. A great offense uses the entire field to move the ball, running, throwing, short, long, whatever. Same thing in basketball. Modern offenses aren't just three-point shot-based. Modern right. offenses are spacing-based. So, and then you take whatever shot the defense is giving you. Is it a three? Take it. Is it a 12-foot jumper? Take it. Is it a layup? Take it. Is it a floater in the paint? Take it. Those are the shots that you take, the shots the defense is giving you.
Right.
We see as Kentucky fans, the three really hasn't fallen like we thought it was going to, because our quote-unquote best shooters have struggled so far.
Yeah.
But what have they done? They've gone to other areas of the floor to score points.
Yeah.
Whether it's pulling up for that 12, 15-foot jumper, or it's Keon going nuclear from the mid-range. In
Mr.
The
mid-range, yeah.
You know, and his elbow jumper is money. Why do you want – you don't want him to not take that shot. If he can do a – if he can one dribble into that shot, that's what I want him to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but I also want Keon, if that – you know, in the last game against Central Michigan, he hit that trail three from the wing. If that shot's open, take it. If Keon's taking one three a game or two threes a game, I'm okay with it as long as it's an open three.
Right.
You know, a corner three, a trail three like that. I'm good with that because we're going to start to see that percentage, his shooting percentage, creep up. Because he might go 1-for-2 one game, 0-for-1, 1-for-2, 1-for-2, you know, and you start to see that percentage slowly creep up into that 30, 31, 32% range, which is where he needs to be a threat from the three-point line. Because then you got to respect him shooting that ball. I'm stating facts, 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 facts. I like seeing my guys, my guards, my wings do a one or two dribble and then rise up for a mid-range shot because the defense is packed into the paint and nailing that shot.
Right.
You know, that should be an easy shot for a college player. If it's open, it basically is a free throw.
Yep.
Right? So that should be an easy shot for these guys to make. Now, what you don't want when you're talking about mid-range, is you don't want your guys doing fadeaway 15-footers. You know, they're not LeBron. They're not Kobe. That's, yeah. You know, they aren't some of the greatest players in the world where that shot is nothing to them. That's a tough two. That's a tough mid-range shot. Those are the two-point shots you want to avoid.
Right.
But if you've got an open pull-up jumper from 12 feet, take it. If the lane opens up to where you drive all the way to the basket, take it.
Right.
If you're a shooter and you got an open three, take it. You take the shots that are given to you. You don't dictate your shots based on what the fans, quote unquote, and experts are saying on Twitter.
Right. Did you hear Kareem's comments about LeBron?
And the big nut.
The little dance, yeah.
Yeah.
Goats don't dance.
But you're also talking about guys 75 years old, or still, however old Kareem is now.
Goats don't dance, LeBron.
But hold on. The NBA now is a whole lot different than the NBA in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. It's an entertainment-based league.
Yeah, it's soft.
You got Curry out there doing his little dance after a three. You know, they all do it.
Right.
So it's that's part of the game now.
Goats don't dance.
We're going to disagree on that, because if Michael played his entire career in this era, he would be exactly the same as these guys you're seeing on the floor now. Don't come at me with saying that he wouldn't be. He came up with a different type of basketball. That's all.
Oh man. I can't see Jordan doing none of that dumb stuff, man.
That's it. You froze. You froze because you knew you were wrong. The podcast was like, I can't let Jay
yeah.
bring out this comment.
Right.
I'm just gonna stop it right now.
Right. But because, yeah. That's I thought that was funny, but I wanted to lead in. You were talking about Memphis and Penny, and then this leads us right into the dumbest shit from Twitter this week. And it's I want to ask this question first before we actually get into the dumb shit, but what the hell happened on Twitter the other night? I'm at work, dude, and my phone is blowing up a gazillion comments, and they were going in.
It started with Michelle saying she never gets a shout-out on the podcast. I know we've brought her up before.
Yeah, like several times.
And then Dubs09 comes in and says the same thing. It sucks, doesn't it? I know we've talked about both of them on the podcast. And then somehow it just got hijacked into the players that they think are hot.
I saw Willie Cauley-Stein in there, Randall Cobb in there, Pretty Eyes.
You know, one of them saying it'd be a great way to die. Hold on. Like, we just need to, you guys just need to go to bed. Like,
right.
You are too thirsty right now. Just
thirsty. Thirsty Thursday.
It was crazy because I had to put my phone on Do Not Disturb.
I had a gazillion. I was like, in a gazillion comments.
I'm like, oh my God. I guess. And then I woke up the next morning to the Randall Cobbs. I'm like, oh no, not this again.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's starting all over
again. I even played Bob Seger from Michelle in one episode. She must have missed that
one. That's where it started, was with that. Then they just hijacked it. And then they were arguing over who gets who.
They were trying to create for the segment, the dumbest shit on Twitter this week.
Yeah.
But it was all fun. Yeah. It was all fun stuff, really.
Right.
And like, and if serious, like there's, I mean, of course, women say dumb shit all the time. But really on social media, on Twitter, there haven't been, you know, in our families, we've had a couple. And I forgot about the one.
And they weren't from our fan base.
Right.
The dumb ones that we've had weren't from our fan base. So, right. So our fan base has been pretty good about, at least the ones that we follow.
Yeah, the ladies in the Big Blue Nation, they
have been really good about not putting that dumb shit out there. Right. So.
But the guys, not so much.
No.
What do you got, JD?
Since we talked about Penny in Memphis, we'll start with FQ Arkansas. And this was in response to Giannato saying, or quoting Penny, "There aren't enough guys in that locker room who care about winning unless they are the ones that are helping us win. It's not team. That's the danger of having a lot of talent. The talent has to want to play together. Right now, the talent doesn't." So FQ Arkansas quote tweeted that and said, "It's Penny, Coach Cal 2.0, recruits great talent and then blames them when they lose." Again, when does Cal blame his players for issues on the floor or struggles on the floor? He doesn't.
Don't.
He always says, "I got to be better. I got to figure out what I need to do with this team to get them to where they need to be. I got to figure out, you know, how to play this guy to bring his strengths out." You know, when we all know it's probably more on the player than the coaches.
Yeah.
But Cal, for the 12 years that he's been here, for the majority of his press conferences after an issue or after a loss or whatever, he's the one taking the blame. Right. Him and the staff are the ones taking the blame for the issues and the problems on the floor.
And last year, he
did that all last year.
Last year he could have thrown all the players under the bus.
Every one of them under the bus.
Right.
Every one of them under the bus.
Didn't happen.
He could have, didn't happen. So, no, Penny is not Cal 2.0.
Right, Michael Beard. I like Michael Beard.
Roll the ball out there and expect to have success.
I like Michael Beard's comment to that. He goes, "Hold the up. When has Cal ever blamed the players?" ? Also, Calipari has a natty.
There you go.
Right.
I mean, that's it.
That was a great response. Yeah.
We could go and find a whole lot of dumb shit just surrounding the Memphis stuff that's going on right now.
Facts.
So, yeah. It's pretty crazy. What you got next?
Spencer Leon.
Sounds good to me.
I guess that is his name. Yeah. Spencer. Spencer Dykes, talking about Jimmy Dykes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Dykes, hoops is not the first thing that comes to mind with thinking of the SEC. Are they even in the top four for hoops? Big Ten, ACC, Big East, Pac-12, and Gonzaga 5. Only Kentucky, pages later, the SEC.
You lose. Good day, sir.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But didn't the SEC just go out and beat Gonzaga in Seattle?
Bama.
Which conference brought in more five stars than any other conference in the country?
Right.
Which conference are the best players transferring to in the country?
Right.
Tell me you don't watch college basketball or read about college basketball without telling me you don't.
That's what it is.
Because he replied to Jimmy Dykes saying the SEC is going to be an absolute war this year in hoops. Buckle up. It's absolutely the truth.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the rankings, what do we have? Six teams ranked this week? You know, Kentucky at 9. Then you had Bama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Florida. And who am I missing? Kentucky, Bama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Florida. It should have been 6 because LSU wasn't ranked, I think is what it was. So the SEC is deep and talented. And if you're not paying attention, that's not anybody else's fault but your own.
Right. Shout out to Tyler Smith on this because he had a reply. Tyler Smith at UK Cats All Day 23. there's still time to delete this. This is just an incredibly bad take. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it was, and that's why he is on the dumbest shit from Twitter this week.
Right, and Jeff Yeager, they have the most ranked teams in the country, sent 6 teams to the NCAA tournament last year, none named Kentucky, likely to send 7 to 8 this year. Like, people like Spencer Leon just like to put shit out there to put shit out there without actually having any knowledge of the shit that they're putting out there.
Right.
And that's why they end up on the dumbest shit on Twitter.
Facts.
Because we're going to see it, and we're going to find it, and we're going to put it out there.
We're going to put you on blast, sucker. Mm-hmm. what we got next?
Brad White.
Not
Coach Brad White.
Not defensive coordinator Brad White.
Right. So he's actually got a couple of stupid tweets.
Sure.
This started because UK fan Dan 37 retweeted his tweet that said, "I feel bad for the Citrus if that's the best they could do, talk about Iowa and Kentucky." So, Dan retweeted and said, "Of course, a salty Tennessee fan."
Man, I hate Tennessee.
Brad White responded, "It would still be better than Iowa versus Kentucky, LOL. Kentucky fans still all mad that the Mustard Balls went into Lexington and punked the Cats as usual." It's good to know that a 3-point win in a game where you gave up over 600 yards in offense.
Yeah. I want to revisit those stats.
It's called punking the other team.
That
game came down to a couple of plays early on that let Tennessee win that game.
Tennessee fans are wild.
In no sense of the word did you come into Lexington and punk Kentucky. But here's the other thing. It also shows how far Tennessee has fallen that Kentucky is now their Super Bowl. Every year, they hang their season on beating Kentucky.
Right.
Where Kentucky, we're now to the point where we're like,
y'all ain't shit.
We lost. So what? We lost one game to you. We finished higher than you in the SEC with a better record. We went 9-3. You went 7-5. Boom. Like, we're better. We had a better season than you did. It doesn't matter that you won that one game. That one game does not define a season.
Right.
So that tells you everything you need to know about the state of each of our programs. Tennessee, they worry about one game.
Yeah.
And one game only. Kentucky, we're worried about the entirety of the season.
Facts.
So we went to a better bowl game than you because we are a better program and had a better season than you. So you can piss and moan and whine and cry about it, but those are the facts, Brad. Go enjoy your mustard bowl, and we'll go down to sunny Florida on New Year's Day and play Iowa in the Citrus Bowl while you're freezing your ass off in Nashville.
That's right, Brad White. Have a great week. Enjoy your keyboard. And what you got next? This last one here. I don't even know what the hell is going on here.
Okay, so this had to do with Justin Rowland tweeting out about the Citrus Bowl, how it's a great opportunity and all, and that stuff. So at Stoops Belly, at Mark Stoops Belly, which this dude just needs to smack for that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's dumb. That's dumb in and of itself.
Man.
But he tweeted out, "I'd like to win, but it's basically an exhibition game. Unless you're in the playoffs, it just doesn't matter. 10 wins would be a nice feather in our cap, though. The important part is the extra practice for the young guys. Meh, don't get me wrong. I will be screaming at the TV, LOL, but losing a bowl game doesn't mean nearly as much as losing a regular season game. Win or lose, we get to say we made a New Year's Day bowl. But again, that extra spring practice means everything to the young guys."
He's all over the place here.
Crazy. Like, it doesn't... Make it make sense, right?
Make it make sense.
We got a whole new bag of issues. We can forget about mom for a while.
You go into the Citrus Bowl and say you get your ass kicked by Iowa. Okay, what's the perception of Kentucky football going into next season? Don't tell me these bowls don't matter. They absolutely matter for your next season, the springboard into the next season. You know, we had a lot of momentum after we went down there in 2018 to beat Penn State coming in the next year.
Yep.
And that was taken away by injuries. You know, going down there again this year to play a top 15 Iowa team who at one point was ranked, what, third in the country? Second? Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Winning. Plus, they get free shit.
You get the swag bags.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the practice is important for the young guys. It is.
It is.
Don't get me wrong. It is.
It is.
But it's almost equally as important to win that game.
Yeah.
Because now you're into your season on a high note. Your players are all happy. You don't have that negative perception for going into your bowl game and losing. Right,
you get this thought in your head to want to push for more.
A program like Kentucky, you want those wins at the end of the season to keep building your name up and building your brand up and building your program up.
Right.
So, while it's nice to just have the extra practices, the win absolutely does mean something. And if you're the type of fan that believes what this dude does, then don't even watch the bowl game.
Right.
Don't even watch it. Don't sit there and say you're going to be cheering the team on and screaming at the TV if you don't give a shit about whether or not they win.
Plus, we get free shit.
We don't get any stuff.
We don't, but the players do. And but like I was saying, they get that thought in their head to want more.
Right.
To want more.
Right, exactly.
It betters your program.
You know, it makes everything about your program better.
Plus,
you know,
we get free shit.
So... like I said, if you're one of those fans that believes what Mark Stoops Belly believes, don't even turn the f-ing TV on when we're playing that Citrus Bowl.
That's right. Skip it.
Go watch. Stop watching after Tennessee plays in the Music City Bowl in Nashville.
Right.
2 days earlier.
Right. Just remember.
Enjoy that game.
Just remember, Mark Stoops Belly. They get free shit. That was the dumbest shit from Twitter this week. Oh, man, great episode. We thought it was going to be short and sweet, but going on an hour.
We get going on a little rants, and
yeah,
here we are, 55 minutes in.
What are we going to name this? I'm just going to name it Off the Rails.
It kind of was, because we talked about a lot of different stuff.
Off the Rails, episode 29. But, yeah, man, It's crazy. And I wanted to mention real quick, Yusuf Corker.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this tweet earlier, and Big Blue Nation, I'd like for you guys to get involved, or our listeners get involved, get at Yusuf Corker. He tweeted out, "Hey, BBN, help me collect books to donate for schools around Lexington area for the John Carrington Foundation.com. And you can donate money for them to buy books. You can donate mm-hmm. books or whatever. But yeah, man, check into that, man, because it's the John Ryan Carrington Foundation. So check that out. And the story is on 6/6/13, me and my family, this is in, it's like a bio. My family's lives changed forever when my brother was murdered at the age of 21. He loved to read and loved helping his friends. In honor of his birthday on 12/12, I give out books to school age kids so they can develop a love of reading as well. This not only keeps his memory alive, helps my family with our grief, but it also honors something that he loved. Any donation, small or large, will be greatly appreciated so we can help as many kids have books in their homes that can read. Thank you all in advance for your generosity." So, yeah, man, get at Yusuf Corker. And this is something Yusuf Corker is doing in the Lexington area. So, man, it's a good, mm-hmm. good deal, man.
Yeah. Something's bigger than football.
Right. Get these kids books. So, I'm telling you, get at Yusuf Corker at YCORKER, Yusuf Corker. Donate some books, donate some money. And the foundation, once again, is John Ryan Carrington Foundation. So, yeah, I just wanted to mention that. But,
yeah.
All good things. Get involved. I'm going to donate some books. I got a lot of books. I actually think I'm going to try to get him 20. At least 20 books. So, I guess get at Yusuf Corker to find out to drop them off.
I don't have any books, so
you can go to the foundation,
donating some money. Yeah,
yeah, foundation and do that, because it's always good to get these kids books to read, and it's mm-hmm. it's something beautiful. But man, great episode. Nothing going on. Cats to the Citrus Bowl. Mm-hmm. The Cats play Tuesday, not Monday. Tuesday.
Tuesday.
As JD mentioned.
Southern.
Against Southern U. Where's yep. That's in Louisiana, I believe.
Maybe. It's part of what the Unity series or whatever. Yes. So they were in Cincinnati today going to the Underground Railroad Museum and going through that stuff. So yeah, it's a good thing. You know,
yeah.
A lot of our fans have complained about the non-conference schedule. The non-conference schedule gets built in a bunch of different ways. You know, you bring in teams to help build your team's confidence and help get your team playing well and playing together.
That's what I call them, confidence boosters.
You bring in former players, your old school, you know.
Helping smaller schools out.
Bringing them in. And then now Kentucky playing these HBCUs in the exhibition season and now in the regular season, giving them some exposure and helping them out. So
it's a good thing. It's a big deal. Yeah. But yeah, so that's what we got going on. Any other news, JD, before we get off here?
Not that I have.
No. Should we give Michelle one more shout out again?
We better. Otherwise she'll say we're not shouting her out on the podcast.
Michelle, shout out to you. Cheers.
Yeah. Hey, Dubs, you too.
Dubs 09.
Did you say we don't talk?
He like disappeared for a while and he just pops back in like, oh, nobody talks about me. Dubs 09, right. We love you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're crazy.
No explanation for the disappearance. Like he was just gone.
You're a crazy troller, but we still love you. But anyway, Big Blue Nation, have a great week. I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is
JD Hall.
And we are Religiously Kentucky.
This was another episode of Religiously Kentucky.
It was great. Thanks for the hospitality.
If you liked this episode, make sure to give us a like. and subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes and our opinionated take on the world of Kentucky sports. Religiously Kentucky.